This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we're going to jump right in and welcome to the show Mr. Nick Hill from the Marion Polk First Pack. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Oh, so you guys are the ones I saw up on the big billboard out in South Salem.
Oh, our shiny, happy little faces.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I'm going on that show in a couple minutes.
I remember the first billboard way, way back in the day when it was the surreal. It's kind of like hearing your voice for the first time on the radio. You're like, that can't be me. And when you see your big giant face, it's just weird.
I've had a couple of people like, where do I know you from?
I know.
And I'm like, you live in South Salem. Have you driven past this billboard? Oh, that's where it is.
And then I'm always like, wait a minute, is this a good thing? Do you like us or do you hate us?
Take a step back till you're aware of the situation.
So I got to ask you guys, it looks like winter. Winter's coming.
Well, at least in the mountain ranges. It's just one of those dreary, dreary days.
I'm so tired of it.
I actually, over the weekend, I made a road trip to go hang out with a couple of friends, go see a comedy show down in Southern Oregon. Mm-hmm. And it was the most long, gray drive. Everything just looked like it was just depressing how gray it was the whole way.
It's starting to grind, and then there's no payoff of at least some snow. Because I was seeing some people saying, because like Southern Medford area, Grants Pass, they could get snow down to the valley floor. And then I was saying maybe Willamette Valley, maybe, but it probably won't happen. It always turns to slush.
As of right now, it's showing Thursday. There could be some snow.
Apocalypse
is coming.
Well, okay. Wait, it's President's Day, so there's no school right now. They might as well just cancel the week with that threat on Thursday.
That's true.
That might be the way to handle this
50% chance, that little snowflake. Hunter is my witness.
Okay. One snowflake.
Okay. If your weather widget is saying it will come true. Although I watch it, I'm like, refresh. Now it's only one snowflake. First it was two. So anyway, it's good to have you, Nick. Again, we've got a really busy week. We've got lots of great guests planned for the week. We're kicking it off with Nick updating us. We are now at the 16th of February. Happy past Valentine's Day. I had some steak and some shrimp. It was nice, and some chocolate. The mustache got me some chocolate and some wine. It was nice.
Nice.
Well, congratulations for your celebrating of Valentine's Day. I mentioned going to that comedy show. Yeah, that was Valentine's Day night. So I went off with my buddies. So.
And Ashley probably had a lovely Valentine's night.
Well, hanging out with our younger children and, you know. Well, that has its own challenges because one's a preteen, so you know how that goes.
God, I hope you brought her some wine, not the daughter, your wife. All right. Anyway, we got to jump in. We're going to get some updates. Obviously, like I said, it is the 16th. We are in the thick of primary season. City council races, they happen in May, and we keep trying because I know there's a lot of shenanigans with the gas tax. The legislature is playing games. It's what Democrats do. I don't know why we would expect anything else to maybe be moving that to the May because they know that those are low turnout races. We're trying to get, and I know you, Nick, and your guys, I know you. I've been seeing you out there. You're knocking on doors. So really trying to build momentum for those such critical races. The mayor is running for re-election. Councillor Gwynn is running for re-election. And then we've got people in the other ones. Again, it's the even numbers that are up this time. So just give us some updates. What's the lay of the land out there?
Oh, man, you're throwing me so many layups, I don't even know what to start with. Well, 91 days until the election. 91 days. So if you're listening, even though it's cold outside, things are heating up. And to steal from one of our candidates with the evens, 2, 4, 6, 8, that's how you make Salem great.
Ooh. Oh, I love that. That's good.
So yeah, we're riding hot at the moment. But yeah, things are getting wild out there. We've since the beginning of the year, we've already knocked 10,000 doors.
God bless you. Wow.
So that's not just Marion Polk First. That's volunteers who've come out and knocked. We've done some C3 projects to find out, you know, where people lie on, you know, certain issues. We've done knocking for Julie. We've done knocking for Manny. We've done knocking for Betsy. And then actually this Saturday, we are having a volunteer training at Marion Polk First's new office building.
What?
I know. Things are
moving on up.
Yeah, moving and shaking for Marion Polk First. So it's 2017.
So what's that going to entail? You said it's training?
Yeah, so it'll be held at 2017 State Street. Okay. It's the Marion Polk First office. And so we're going to invite people to come in how to use I-360, door knocking app. And
that's
then
the app,
also how to do phone calling, and then talk about etiquette. What you can and can't say at the doors, you know, how far to stand. You know, I went to a training and so many people, candidates, I'm not calling anybody out, but they, when they introduced themselves, they were shaking hands or they stuck their hand out to do a handshake. And I'm like, oh, these people have never knocked doors because people are usually stand behind the door and they don't want to shake your hand.
Yep.
I mean, it's nothing rude, but you know, it's just.
I don't tend to open my screen door, my storm door. I'll talk to you through that.
Exactly. So
if I don't know who you are. You just show up on my door.
So we kind of want to get people who are maybe thinking about, yeah, I want to come help, but I'm really intimidated by all this. And once you get it going, you're like, oh, this isn't that bad. So we figured what better way to do a training and get people familiar with it. And then we're going to feed them lunch afterwards.
Okay.
And then, and then we're going to go out door knocking for Chris Cummings afterwards. So you can put all that training to the test. So we'll make your work.
It's interesting.
For it.
Most people would think, well, how hard is it to go knock on doors? I've done it for over the years, many times for many candidates. And I always know the one it's like, first of all, a lot of the apps, you can kind of pinpoint your 4-4s, your 2-4s. And those are how often do people vote? How motivated are they? Are they your voters? So you're not spending a lot of time talking to people that don't want to talk to you. Or I love the ones where they try to filibuster you. So you'd be like, well, answer this question for me. And so 20 minutes later, it's like, no. They're trying to waste your time. Move on.
Absolutely.
Shake the dust off your shoes and move on.
Yeah, we do targeting doors. So, you know, we will go to more friendly doors. I mean, we knock on Democrat doors. We knock on independent, unaffiliated. If they've indicated that, like, oh, yeah, they signed the payroll tax petition a couple years ago. So they don't like taxes. So let's target them. But, you know, if they're a strong, I guess, the people exist out there, strong Kotex supporter, then we're not going to go bother knocking on their door because what is the point if they're going to vote for the worst governor in the country? But
right. And you've got limited time, limited people. And so you've got to really maximize that. And those apps are great. I mean, this is how long I've been doing it. Back in the day when you had paper lists and you were crossing names off. And a lot of with the phone lists and things like that, especially since people all have cell phones, that's still got to be a challenge. Most people don't pick it up if they don't recognize the number.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're leaving a lot of voicemails.
Yeah. And you know, I think Oregon has the law whereas you can't solicit cell phones. Like when we do I-360 calling, that is only for landlines and not cell phones. So we have to call cell phones separately because of some law that you can't auto dial cell phones on a political call.
So there's nuances and there's things. So that training is going to be very, very valuable for people to have that. And that you can keep in your back pocket for campaigns coming down.
Absolutely.
Coming down the pike. So what issues are you hearing from folks on the door? What's resonating out there with Salem voters, especially in the even wards?
When we did knocking, what was it? Last weekend, not Valentine's Day, but the weekend before that, we did for Julie and Deanna out in Ward 4. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a lot of people that were just like, oh, the conservative or Democrats. And so obviously it's a nonpartisan race, but they're registered. All good enough for me. But Kyle Hedquist.
Uh-huh.
That topic resonated
really?
With a lot of
that's
people.
Still. To refresh, that's the he was a felon convicted as a teenager who was put on the Citizen Police Advisory Board.
Yeah, that was appointed.
Twice.
Yes.
Reappointed.
You know, it's not in any of their handouts, and it's not necessarily something that they want to go shouting from the rooftops. But when, you know, you're talking at the doors with people and you're pitching them, you're like, well, both of the counselor and the mayor voted against this. They were very much against Kyle Hedquist. Maybe you heard about that. And then some people are like, oh, is that the murderer guy? And some people didn't know. So you had to give it a little background. They're like, oh, that's terrible. So it's definitely something that candidates should really lay in. And even if they're not candidate or if they're candidates and not on city council, they should be like, yeah, I absolutely disagree with these choices and that he should have never been close to that. So it's just, you know, sometimes you got to bring up uncomfortable things, but if it rocks the boat in the right way, then absolutely do it.
Yeah, I would assume crime, public safety, homelessness are all pretty top tier issues as well for folks.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially if they are near a park. which we were out by Sumter Park, and some people said, like, oh, I see trailers or RVs every now and then, and it's so frustrating. They come in and move them, and then like a week and a half later, another one comes up. And so people are just, I feel like they're at their wit's end. They they don't necessarily know that they need to go to city council and share this, but they just don't know what else to do. They think that the city is just not doing enough, which, you know, having conversations with Julie and Deanna and Shane, like, the city is trying, but, you know, it's a monumental task. That's a countywide issue, a statewide issue, a citywide issue. And everyone's just kind of doing the Spider-Man meme, pointing at each other like,
oh, yeah,
you're taking care of this, right? So it's, people are frustrated.
Yeah, yeah. I'm imagining you're hearing that. So, and again, you've got to keep that, like you said, 91 days to keep those issues front and foremost. The thing is people get those ballots, they toss them on the counter, the day comes, it goes by. So I'm assuming there's an effort, regardless of who anyone's voting for in this, to just get out and vote. And again, the May primary, it's so challenging to get people motivated, especially if they're non-affiliated. Are you talking to non-affiliateds that do realize that they do vote for city council and mayor? If they'll certainly vote for the mayor.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Those are the individuals that we target as well, and encourage them that, like, your voice matters. It's a trickle up effect. If we can get, you know, the city of Salem, you know, more leaning in a certain direction, then you'll see some of these issues and, you know, laws change for the better. I mean, you know, their hands are tied right now. There's only 3 conservatives on city council. So anytime someone is upset at the door, like, well, why aren't they doing more? It's like, well, they voted against it. Well, yeah, but that's not enough. It's like, well, they need some help.
It's a numbers game. Yeah.
So, you know, and I know you alluded to it with, you know, if the gas referendum is moved to the May ballot, I hope that this is the most significant turnout we've ever had in a May primary. And I know Marion and Polk First is going to, you know, probably take a stance one way or another. If this does happen, we're going to, you know, send out mailers. We're going to encourage people, like, hey, if you don't like taxes, vote no on the referendum and vote for the candidates who will keep your taxes low. So, you know, I don't want to speak too much on it because nothing has happened yet.
Right, right.
But we are definitely keeping a close eye on what's happening at the legislature at the moment.
Yeah, it's shenanigans as usual. But, you know, if you look at it, you could make some lemonade out of those lemony shenanigans, which obviously would get more eyeballs on the May one. So it almost might be a little bit of a be careful what you wish for there.
and
because nobody likes that. The polling numbers on that, on the gas tax, were just through the roof of disapproval.
Well, but that's the thing, is the governor wants it moved because of her own not wanting to be on the same ballot. And if they got to sacrifice, you know, the mayor of Salem or the because of better turnout, she's willing to do that because, gosh darn it, for some reason, those Democrat politicians like to be self-serving.
All right, we're talking with Nick Hill from Marion Polk First PAC. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denison Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, we're continuing our conversation today with Nick Hill from Marion Polk First PAC. So any other issues? There's all kinds of stuff coming up. I was doing some research this weekend and in show prep on this initiative petition 28. Oy vey. Is that on anybody's radar really hard right now? I know it's sort of in the signature gathering stage. Are you hearing anything about that?
A couple of groups I've been to have been pushing it to get it signed, but we're not necessarily taking any initiative on it, nor should we, as that is the hunting one, correct?
Yes. Well, basically, unless you are there, you have a cow as a pet, that's about all you could do with the cow. I don't think you could milk it. You certainly couldn't slaughter it for some prime rib. You wouldn't be able to kill mice. I mean, it's basically humans will have nothing to do with animals short of putting cute hats on them and kissing them.
Yeah, virtually.
Anything else would be considered cruel.
Yeah, virtually it's the animals would take over Oregon at that point. They would have free run of the land. If a mouse wants to live in your house, you don't get to get rid of it.
It's insane. It's literally insane. Of course, Oregon, rugged individualist, at least used to be that way. I mean, you know, you look at the people that came out of here over the Oregon Trail to even contemplate something like this, but I don't know. And I'm seeing a lot of people going, oh my gosh, Measure 110 passed. Could this, if it got on the ballot, pass?
And that's the kicker to me. I sit here and I go, you know, from my perspective, because they will put it as, you know, keep the animals from cruel and unusual punishment and save the animals and you know, love your deer and this and that. And they'll present it in a way that will leave out the key parts from just being a homeowner, keeping rodents out of your house, keeping, you know, things from happening around your property to the extent. And the fact is this is Oregon, where logically you'd say there's no way in the world that they are going to shut down every major industry in Eastern Oregon. But yet they do it, and we've seen them do it, and they will do whatever they want, and people will vote for it because, gosh darn it, save the animals, save Bambi, come on. And I go, when you're talking about a Portland voter block who doesn't realize that, you know, maybe Portland has a mouse problem.
Oh, a rat problem. I just look at what happened in the 90s with the spotted owl. Mm-hmm. They basically used the spotted owl to kill an entire industry. The same thing with the Cougar Initiative back in the day, you know, and it all comes from an emotional place. Well, so
I think what we know, I mean, well, they want to take out every dam and every river so that they can now make it better for the fish. The only bird that they don't want to, or the only animal they don't want to protect is the bird, because they want to put up the windmills to kill those.
Yeah, anyway, so it sounds like it's really not quite on anybody's radar just yet.
No, and you know, obviously it's a serious thing, but all I think is like, oh, they really want to make Animal Farm come true. If the animals are running Oregon, then oh, the pig at the top is going to be like, oh yeah, this is good for everybody. And
was that Snowball? Was it Snowball was the top one?
Yeah.
With such an ironic name. I still remember what they did to the poor horse. Was it Boxer? Well, remember what happened to Boxer? Read the book, man. We don't need that.
Well, you know, if they treat it the way they treat, you know, natural gas, the only two, you know, properties left in Oregon will be the governor's mansion and the Capitol building that, you know, are able to remove rodents and pests out of their buildings.
It's lunacy. But again, it's crazy limousine leftists from Portland area who, you know, want to dictate and wag their finger at everybody else. And meanwhile, the ranchers in Eastern Oregon are just like, that one really bothers me. And why it bothers me, because I think in normal sane times, that'll never pass. But we're not in normal sane times. And Oregon is Oregon.
In normal sane times, something like that would never gather the signatures to even come close.
Right.
But yet here we are, where now we're actually having to discuss it, which means that there's a legitimate shot that they can get the signatures to get it on the ballot.
All right.
Scary thoughts.
I know, but that's not necessarily a city thing. So anything else going on? You've got some more events coming up. You've got, I mean, again, we're coming into sort of fundraiser times. I mean, different knock events, all that kind of stuff. What do you need folks to know?
Yeah, well, so trying to change the subject, something a little bit more lighter. We're having a fun, quote unquote, raiser this Thursday. It's going to be a happy hour and candidate essentially meet and greet with a raffle. So it's going to be free to attend.
Okay.
All you have to do is RSVP on our website, marionpolkfirst.com/feb19.
Okay.
And then you'll be prompted with, you know, you fill out your name, your contact. And then if you, I mean, you can say Marion and Polk first, but if the, you know what ward you live in and a candidate is running in your ward, if you say that this, I'm coming on behalf of this candidate, Marion and Polk first is donating $100 to each candidate up to $2,500. So it's in the candidate's, you know, incentives to invite people that they know. I've been furiously texting them, hey, so-and-so's got 10, you've got 7, you don't want to get beat by, you know, we've turned it into this little competition between the candidates to, you know, keep things, you know, a little bit more lively. And so we've already got, I think, 103 people RSVP'd. So it's going to be at the Creekside Golf Course out on Sunnyside Road.
Nice.
At the clubhouse at 5:30 till 7. And there is going to be some absolutely phenomenal raffle prizes. So we're, like I said, it's free to attend. We're encouraging just a $10 donation. If you want to spend more, the more you spend, the more you save on raffle tickets. I think our meeting this morning, there's 20 raffle items, 15 are smaller items with 5 big larger items. And I've heard there might even be a surprise raffle, but I don't want to say too much. So if you want to find out what all this is going to be, I very much encourage you to come and attend. It's going to be a great time. Cash bar, but food and non-alcoholic beverages will be free. All you have to do is RSVP, say how many people are coming and what candidate you're coming to support. So
okay.
If you've got time Thursday night, I hope to see you there.
Okay. Well, and then for those who are, John, you said February 19th, I'll go ahead and put that into our show notes too for folks that are interested in going to that. We got you, for one more minute? Any last closing thoughts on, because I mean, it's going to be here. 91 days is going to go in the blink of an eye.
It seems like just yesterday I was on the show telling you about, we've got some good candidates. And now we're in the swing of things. They are almost all done with their kickoff. Deanna Gwynn's is coming up soon. We're getting a date scheduled, but I'm very excited for this election cycle. I think we've got great candidates with great stories. They've got a lot of information and passion to share with the city. I think the city would be in phenomenal hands if they all win and get to, you know, share their ideas for the better. But again, we need people to show up to city council, share their thoughts, tell them when they're doing a good job, let them know when there's things that you don't like. You know, it takes a team to get these people mm-hmm. elected and, you know, held accountable and all hands on deck. I mean, that's literally all I have to say is all hands on deck when it comes to this election cycle.
Yeah. And the work's not over when the election is over, because like you said, you need to show up.
Yeah.
They can't read your mind.
Absolutely.
They're just like anybody else. They don't know what they don't know. And it's important to stay engaged. Absolutely. To stay engaged. Real quick, Nick. No, I think I'm going to hear the music, aren't I?
No, about 10 seconds. Quick.
About 10 seconds. Website real fast.
MarionPolkFirst.com. MarionPolkFirst.com/Feb19th if you want to RSVP for our fundraiser on Thursday.
All right, Nick, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll chat with you again before the election. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Bi-Mart.
We need to mention that the Bi-Mart Savings Book is out. I saw it this morning. It's chock full of good stuff.
I know. If you are a Bi-Mart member, it'll show up in your own mailbox. Otherwise, you might have to hunt it down a little bit. Head on into Bi-Mart, sign up, and start saving.
I'm happy to send it to you if you need it. Just shoot me an email over at kykn.com, newsmakers@kykn.com. Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit into education, and welcome to the show, Deborah Butler, who is with Neon Kids, and she's going to tell us all about their fourth annual, Deborah. Wow. Education Expo.
Right. Can you believe it's the fourth annual?
Wow. I was there for the first. I remember the first one.
You were there where it was really crowded and you were thirsty and hungry.
Yes.
I remember that. It's like, okay, you guys, it's just a little longer. Yeah. So this year it's once again at the Kaiser Event Center, which is very fancy compared to where we were before.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's the fourth annual Neon Expo, and it's Saturday, the 28th of February, from 9 to 1. Yeah.
2/28 from 9 to 1. Okay, yeah. And again, if you're driving, I will put that up into show notes. We'll link up everything to it. So first of all, tell us, what is the acronym NEON? What's NEON Kids?
NEON stands for Novel Education Options Network.
Okay.
So that means that we want to encourage parents to teach their own children, because parents are natural teachers, mm-hmm. and one-on-one teaching is very successful, and tutoring's a great way to look at it. Tutors are very helpful, and the one-on-one is great. So we just want to connect families to ideas for teaching their kids.
Homeschooling is growing in popularity. I mean, it's exploding in popularity. When we see what's going on, anybody who spends any time out on X and watches those videos, especially over this weekend, a lot of people are like, I don't want my kids in the public schools anymore, but I don't know what to do. So
right.
How can Neon Kids help?
Oh, well, a lot of us homeschool. And so you can always call or email us and ask. I mean, I'm always available to talk about homeschool. And so and I have grandkids homeschooled and that kind of stuff. And so we are available for that kind of discussion. And NEON in particular is has lots of vendors. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of vendors this year. I don't know the exact count. It's still changing. Maybe mm-hmm. KYKN should be there. Mm. There's still room for a vendor or two. Ooh, is right.
That's and, right.
and that is, they have a lot of booths out there. I have Croc Center and Classical Conversations, Sneaker Blossom Books, Tomorrow's Champions. I mean, there's like 35 of them right now. And there's a whole list of them.
So. I remember the first year there was, I want to say, because Manny, our friend Manny, friend of the show, Manny Martinez, is also a musician and a guitar teacher.
Oh.
He was there that year. I don't know. He's a little busy right now. But I remember there was a magician there. Lots of school resources. Our Constitution IQ group was there. There's kind of a little bit of everything.
Yeah, Constant IQ is going to be there. Grand Canyon University.
Oh.
There's tons of it. Oregon Right to Life is coming. I don't know if they've come before.
Hmm.
Color My Vision, that's interesting. That has to do with what people that have a certain amount of color blindness and then how you can counter that with glasses or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Victory Academy's coming.
You know, yeah.
The Guptill yep. School. Corbin's yep. supposed to be there. Anyway, it's going to be a party. I hope everybody just puts that on their calendar. Including you, Denise, and of course, Hunter.
Of course.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to parents, you know, that really want to do this, but they're scared? They're like, I'm not a teacher, or I'm pointing to myself, I'm not great at math.
Mm. Oh, is that how
they shouldn't
feel?
Be intimidated by that, because there are, and what I'm also seeing is what traditional school, they're there for 6, 7, 8 hours, however it is, and most homeschooling families are getting higher quality education in far, far less time.
Well, what we did a lot was hands-on things, projects, mm-hmm. and just whatever I could think up, because that was back in the old days. And I just... I
Before
was
the internet?
Yeah, exactly. That was nice, actually.
I know. I hear you.
But we could just find things to do. You just find them, like, oh, or the kids find them, or you have them do reading and reports on the reading. The math can come very easily. Easy, and you can get better at the subjects as you teach them, Denise. Yeah, so that is something to think about.
What I always like, and I've heard anecdotally too, because you have a lot more, you can look and you can see that Susie has an interest in something and you can really hone in on that.
Right.
Where she's not one of 50 in a class. It's just her and maybe a brother and a sister or a cohort of neighborhood, because a lot of people will do like pods and things like that.
Right, and that's a good idea too. Just remember the 3 R's are still valid. Reading, mm-hmm. writing, and arithmetic. That's it. And then the rest of it, you can branch out from there and do all kinds of things. And it's very exciting. And kids go, instead of having this horizontal learning kind of knit too much, they go deep down and they get really good at certain subjects. And it's just great.
Well, see, I always go with you know, a lot of people have that mentality of that Denise has. Well, I'm not good at this, or my time is limited, or whatever else. Well, that's what Neon Kids is really all about, is connecting you with the resources that can find alternative ways. If you're not good at math, maybe there's a pod you can join for the math side of things. Maybe a neighbor, maybe, you know, not to highlight the internet, but maybe there's a math program on the internet that can be very helpful in educating young children.
Right. And some kids are just plain good at stuff and they can just get better than you.
Well, I got to look at it this way. I think that, here in Salem-Keizer, where enrollment is declining rapidly, of course, all across the state of Oregon, that's occurring.
It's good.
But just a few weeks ago, they literally took their teachers and said, we're going to give you a day off so that you can do phonics training. Well, I think a lot of parents could do the phonics training on their own if they need to.
Absolutely. If they get a little research in there, start looking and poking around, asking their friends, they can do it. Anybody can do it. And they can, it's just time. It is time. That is one thing. But you can organize the time. And the kids don't need to take that long. So if they're working on math for, it depends on their age. The little kids can be done pretty fast. They don't have to do everything on that schedule of whatever curriculum you choose. They can make it fit them and just take your time. Sometimes we would go 3/4 through a curriculum book, and then just stop. And I know, like other public school stuff, I've heard that they don't even get that far. So it's not that I'm trying to compare us, but it's that a lot of times the work is repeated in the next book, or you can just keep going to the end of the book, and you don't have to worry about that as long as they're learning. And they can get done in an hour or 2 hours.
Parents know their kids best and can really kind of hone in on what's really interesting them.
Exactly.
And push. I like that you said it's sort of very horizontal, and it's very generic and very sort of, I mean, I think by nature of such a big, it's such a huge institutionalized system on that end.
Yeah.
You can't really pinpoint it. And I know they're also getting rid of a lot of talented and gifted as well, which is really a shame. So you can really, if one of your kids has just got an aptitude in something, you can just go
Yeah. And they're not going to be held back. They're not going to be teased or taunted or whatever can happen. The teachers sometimes are terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then so you're fostering a lifelong
high school
love
that were
learning.
Terrible.
Oh, believe me, I remember them. I think we all do.
Well, it's shocking when you start telling somebody and going, wow, that was totally unacceptable.
Well, and especially nowadays where, you know, because of the declining registration in the school district, they're needing to do budget cuts. And in the areas that they're talking about cutting are things like the CTEC program and these others that are the more successful programs. And you're just going, so wait, as the school district is losing money, they're going to get rid of the most successful, the talented and gifted CTEC and these things. And I'm just kind of going, I think it's building a whole lot more frustration where parents are looking for those alternatives. And I would recommend getting out there on February 28th and see what it would look like and see, you know, what kind of resources are available for you to change up the education of Oregon kids, really.
There is a lot of stuff. Also, in Oregon City, there's a bookstore called Exodus Books, and that's a really good place to go and look for stuff. It's going to have used curriculum, new curriculum, just ideas up there, too. Neon will have vendors, you know, showing what they have. There may not be a lot of textbooks. There may be other things. It's kind of supplemental more than the three R's. And that's good, too.
That is good.
You know what what I miss is when I was in high school, I didn't like high school very well, but the PE department was wonderful. And people don't have that here. So it's
no
like,
more PE?
They don't have it.
No, it's in much Silverton, more limited than it used to be.
They don't have
for
it.
For me, my say in high school, and most of my school, it was the arts. That's what got me through because history. I love history, but memorizing numbers and dates, I like to do deep dives in that. So.
And that's the mentality. The textbook learning only really applies to about 20-30% of kids who are strictly textbook learners. Yeah. And yet our school systems are set up around that with limited opportunities outside of that. I know that the only reason I got out of high school was because I was able to take a lot of hands-on classes for a couple of years.
Like those welding and cars.
Remember,
shop and home ec,
both. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even home ec.
Yeah.
Because you got to go make cookies for an hour. I'm like, sign me up for that.
We had fun.
Deborah, real quick, what's the website if people want to learn a little bit more about this and they want to get it on their calendar?
That's a good question. Neon Kids. I think Neon Kids something or other.
Okay, I've got it somewhere. I'll put it into show notes as well. Again, Saturday, February 28th, 9-1 at the Kaiser Event Center. And you will meet a lot of like-minded people, probably people that have been doing it for years. So you can, like you said, ask questions, you know, connect up with people, start networking with people. And what a great opportunity. Again, Neon Kids, 4th Annual Education Expo. Deborah Butler, thanks so much for coming in. How exciting. It's going to be a great event.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. See you there.
Yes.
All right, everybody, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, we need to make sure we mention we're right in the midst of our 5th annual food and clothing drive. Again, go to kykn.com and click on that food and clothing drive link. You'll see all of our partners on that. Be Bold Street Ministries is the beneficiary of that. locations all over town, doing gangbusters, lots of barrels. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think every day we're getting a call from one of these vendors saying, I've got a full barrel. Can you come by and scoop it up for us? So
sweet.
That is happening. The turnout is magnificent. Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning, food and clothing drive presented by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Yes, yes. And last week we profiled our social media profile. We profiled Elite. This week I'm going to profile Chira's.
Chira's restaurant. Oh, well, I mean, what a great opportunity. Go on down there, bring some canned food, maybe some, you know, slightly used clothing, donate it, and get yourself a wonderful meal at Chira's.
Yuri has said they got tomahawks down there. Go get yourself a tomahawk.
Now you're making me really hungry. We've got 10 minutes left in the show, Denise. Calm down.
All right. Well, we'll change the subject. Today is also President's Day. You mentioned it briefly in passing, but it is President's Day. Mm-hmm. Some people probably aren't celebrating, but it's for all presidents. It's also George Washington's birthday. So there you go. Celebrate that.
That's why it ended up on this day. And, yeah, I joke a little bit because it's kind of like it's presidency. And I go, yeah, but, you know, half the country celebrates it for this 4-year period. The other half celebrates it for this 4-year period. It's, you know, so I'm sitting there going, you know, there's a good portion of society right now who, not my president.
See, and I'm celebrating it for Calvin Coolidge because he's my favorite.
Yeah, pick your favorite president and just celebrate on your own.
It's Calvin Coolidge's day. It's also National Almond Day, and I don't know how you get milk out of an almond, but apparently some people do, but ew.
Well, that's going to be, if you have this IP, 28 or whatever, comes to fruition and can pass, guess what? That's the only way we're going to get milk here in Oregon.
Yeah, you're going to have to milk an almond. Sorry. It's National Do a Grouch a Favor Day. I don't really know too many grouches anymore, but if you do know one, do a favor for a grouch, and maybe he or she won't be so grouchy.
Oh, I'm sure there's a few out there. We can find them. They might be holding a sign on the side of the road right now. You never know.
Oh, man, a lot of the videos. I'm sorry. This does not bode well, and we're not going to dig too much into this. We'll maybe get into a little bit more tomorrow, but all the teachers, and getting these kids out there, it's really, really bad. But I did watch this weekend The Mustache, and I watched Secretary of State Marco Rubio's speech at the Munich Security Conference. Brought me to tears. It was one of the best speeches I've ever heard. To me, it felt like a pivot moment. I have some highlights. If you have not watched it, and I know, Hunter, you were busy, I highly suggest you go out there. Really the message to Europe is we care deeply. We watch what's going on over in Europe, and it's really quite frightening. You talked about the U.S.-European relationship and that we aren't just allies. We're culturally and historically tied, and really emphasizing how much that partnership still matters. Talking about our defense responsibility and that Europe really needs to carry more of its own weight. While keeping the Western alliances strong, global instability, and talking about Western nations facing pressure from geopolitical rivals and internal policy decisions that have weakened economic and social stability. It was a beautiful, very beautifully delivered speech. He talked about his grandparents coming from Sevilla, Spain, and they never would have guessed that on the world stage, one of their direct ancestors would be the person giving this message. It was a chilling, wonderful speech, chilling in a good way, like goosebumps.
Well, something that needs to be said and brought to the light, because, you know, if you're paying attention to media and you know, the talking heads, it just sounds like everybody across the globe hates the United States, including the U.S. itself. Really realize how deep the ties and the unity are between nations, there's a reality behind it, and it needed to come out.
And he received a standing ovation in Europe, in Munich. And then you juxtapose that with Kankles over there, Hillary, shrill and awful. And I think it was the guy from Czech Republic, who kind of called her out on it. You clearly don't like him. And she did not like that. And she was very shrill, very unstatesmanlike, very. And then, of course, AOC over there falling flat on her face. So the Marco Rubio speech was just this pinnacle moment, this shining moment. And then, you know, all these lefties that were over there, they really just kind of blew it. They were just abrasive, stupid.
Yeah. And I'm getting sick and tired of seeing, you know, why is Hillary there? Why is AOC there? Why was Gavin Newsom at the World Economic Forum? I mean, these people that aren't at that national stage where they should be representing the U.S. nationally, getting to go over and give these speeches that just kind of fall apart. And you're kind of going, you know, we elect people to represent us both locally all the way up to the world stage. And we need to rely on those people to represent us. And not fall for the narrative that, you know, the world hates Donald Trump so much, you know, that you know, we're a laughing stock unless we send Hillary Clinton to talk for us.
Yeah. And Rubio's speech and the way he was received and the way it was delivered. And I'm glad it was him. I think only he could have done that. And as far as he seeing that, he's like top of my 2028. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that dude needs to be president. Oh, yeah. And I love JD, but it was that good and that powerful. So. Yeah, if you get a chance, definitely. Where it's a very short speech, which I also love. I know, you know, whoever you feel about Trump tends to just ramble and ramble and ramble. And this was tight and beautifully written, beautifully delivered. It was a home run. It was just beautiful. Also want to mention, too, one of my favorite actors passed away today at 95, Robert Duvall. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies, Secondhand Lions. I love that movie so much.
Okay, well, I should probably mention, since you're mentioning Robert Duvall passing away, locally here in Salem, news came out at the end of last week that Roger Tofty passed away.
Yes.
The creator of Enchanted Forest.
Part of all of our history and memories.
Mm-hmm. So we should mention that one. Had a big role in a lot of people's lives. When I moved to Salem, that was one of the first things we did with our kids, is took them to Enchanted Forest. I know, you know, you go back in the struggle of 2020 where they almost had to shut down because of everything. The community rallied to really keep them afloat. And the family continues to run and operate Enchanted Forest. And in his memory, I say, let's go out this spring and summer and have a great time at Enchanted Forest and relive his memories.
Yeah, it's great. I was out there a couple of years ago with my niece and my daughter-in-law, and we had a blast, and it's just so much fun. And again, the Tofty family. And then if you look, I know there's a lot of tributes out there to Roger, and just the story behind how it all kind of came up and how it all came together.
Yeah, I had never really did a deep dive into what all occurred until hearing about his passing and reading the amount of dedication, almost sacrifice, and things that he did. And the hours he spent creating a whole lot of what we know as Enchanted Forest on his own time.
Yeah.
You know, talk about taking a chance with yourself and creating something, an everlasting legacy.
Yeah. No, I'm glad. Yeah. That we definitely wanted to mention that, because I did see that over the weekend. And again, you go there, it's an absolutely beautiful park. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. And it's sort of, I don't know whether it's like, because a theme park in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it does gangbusters business. So yes, God bless the Tofty family and Roger. I don't know when it opens. I think it opens. It's not open yet. It's spring to fall. It's got a limited season there, but it's great. And there's some stuff. The haunted house is scary.
Yeah.
I actually won't go in it.
See, created something too scary for Denise.
It's a little too scary for me.
And while we have a few more minutes, we can kind of talk a little bit about some of our programming stuff, because it is the first day of spring training for the Seattle Mariners today.
Yes.
So beginning this Sunday, we will be playing a select amount of Mariners preseason baseball games throughout the next month and a half. So stay tuned for those. Of course, Duck basketball is happening right now. And we still got a couple more weeks of high school basketball.
Be sure to check out our webpage and our social media for all that. Okay, that's it for us today. We got another great show planned for tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.